Good morning. Good morning to everyone. We are very happy to have you with us this morning as we gather together, as we always do on Sunday mornings, to offer up worship to God. It's good to get together. Many of us haven't seen each other since last week. Good to see you again. I hope all is well with each one of you. We appreciate the folks who are here in the auditorium. We also appreciate those who are joining us, our service via our streaming, online streaming. Wherever you are this morning, welcome to you, and we're glad you have joined us. The early Christians, of course, worshiped on the first day of the week, as we still do today. And I'm glad that Christian assemblies take place on the first day of the week, because I think it helps us set our mind and our goals for the week. On the very first day of the week, we come together, we worship God. He is our creator. He's the most important thing in our life. And so the days that follow, as we go through those, we chart our course and we remember God is the one that's the most important thing in our life. And we don't know what's going to happen during the week, but we know one thing: God is there, and we're here to honor and follow him. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is thy name in all the earth. Who has displayed thy splendor above the heavens? So begins Psalm 8. And it's a good beginning for us this morning, too, as we enter in the worship of God.
Good morning. If you would, let's stand as we sing this song. This goes right along with the same train of thought. Book, we'll sing number 286. If you're using a hymnal, this one's number 286.
Angels with rapture announce it. Share.
this one's not in the hymnal. This is All to Us. We sang this a few months back. We're going to try it again this morning. Be led in prayer.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the many blessings we've had and for this beautiful weather you've given us, Heavenly Father, and for our good health that we're able to assemble ourselves here this morning and worship thee and sing praises to thee. We thank you for our families, Heavenly Father, and for the blessings you've given us with them. But we pray, Heavenly Father, you be with those that are sick and afflicted this morning, that are unable to be here because of the physical needs that they have in their lives. And if it be your will, Heavenly Father, bless them and give them the health that they desire, that they may be reassembled with us. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for those that you have blessed recently and that have gain their health back, and we pray, Heavenly Father, that you be with those that are going through difficulties at this time with their health, and pray that you bless them as they deal with cancers and recovery from surgeries or illnesses that they had. Be with those, Heavenly Father, that have spiritual sicknesses this time, that have chosen to do other things of this world and have decided not to come and worship thee and assemble with us and have fellowship with their brothers. We pray that something can be said or done to encourage them, that will make them realize the need that they have for you and for the fellowship here at the church. Be with us, Heavenly Father, through the remainder of the service. We pray that everything that is said and done here this morning is according with thy will. Be with Tim as he brings us the message, and as we pay attention to that we follow along to make sure that all the things that he says are in accordance with thy will. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, for this country. We're able to assemble ourselves like this without fear and molestation from the government, and pray that we'll be able to always be able to do this, but be with those that are in far off places that are at this time struggling and have dangers in their lives because of their Christian beliefs, that you be with them and be with them and give them strength. Be with us, Heavenly Father, and watch over us the remainder of the service. We pray that, Heavenly Father, you forgive us of our sins that we've committed. Keep us safe and give us good health. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
If you're using a hymn book, our song of encouragement this morning will be number 909. There's a fountain free, number 909. Once you have your marker there, we'll sing number 227 in the book. 227, On Zion's Glorious Summit Stood. And if it's convenient, let's stand once more as we sing. Be seated.
The scripture reading this morning is Joshua chapter 2, 15 through 21. There is a children's training class this morning. Joshua 2, 15 through 21. Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was built into the city wall, so that she lived in the wall. And she said to them, "Go into the hills, or the pursuers will encounter you, and hide there for 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Then afterward you may go on your way." The men said to her, "We will be guiltless with respect to this oath of yours that you have made us to swear. Behold, when we come into the land, you shall tie the scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and you shall gather into your house your father and your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household. Then if anyone goes out of the doors of the house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we shall be guiltless. But if a hand is laid on anyone who is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head. But if you tell this business of ours, then we shall be guiltless with respect to your oath that you have made us swear." And she said, "According to your words, so be it." Then she sent them away, and they departed. And she tied the scarlet cord in the window.
We've only sung that song all to us a couple of times here, but I love it. I hope it's one that will become a regular on our itinerary. It's just a great song. It says that you are all to us, Lord. And that is our aim, for God to become all, because we often get sidetracked and we get preoccupied with other things, and we forget that the Lord is number one in our lives. And what blessings there are for those who put God first in their lives. And it's a good reminder. And I thank you that you have sung that with us. Thank Josh for helping us learn that song. And I pray that we'll actually live the songs that we sing. It's so good to see you with us today. We are thankful that we have this opportunity to come and worship God together. And we have a good number here with us this morning. We have more online and more that we'll watch it later as it's been recorded. And so we're thankful that God's word will be proclaimed and worship will be held in many places as a result of what we're doing together this morning. But we're glad to have all of you who are visiting with us. We have a number of visitors with us. Got a pretty good collection on this next to the front row because of Bob Patton. Bob celebrated his 90th birthday yesterday. Yes, indeed. And we hope there's 90 more, Bob. You may not agree with that, but we want there to be a lot more. And here's a lot of his family with him today. They had a big celebration downstairs yesterday, and I hope you were able to join that, as I was, and just let him know how much we appreciate him and all that he has done. We're just thankful that Bob is part of our family here, and Lolly, of course. We won't leave Lolly out. But others of you are visiting with us. We're very thankful that you are here. If we can be of help to you in any way, please let us know. We'd be glad to do what we can. Let me emphasize again that in just a couple of weeks, we are having our annual Family and Friends Day and Homecoming. It is on Sunday, October 8th, and we want everybody to be here for that. We want you to invite people to come and be with you for that. And tell them we're going to have a great meal afterwards. If nothing else, that ought to get them here. And then if you're watching this, if you know of people that were once part of our family here but now live elsewhere, make sure they know about this. We'd love for this to be a big day, and we can, you know, worship God together and just spread the news. So let's make that a wonderful day. There will be a fellowship meal after morning worship. We will provide the meat and the drinks. And we're asking you to provide the side dishes, salads, desserts, and it's going to be great. These always are. So make a note on your calendar to be here on Sunday, October 8th, but be here also next week as well. And then tonight at 6 o'clock, I hope to be an outstanding preacher. I do. Of course, I always hope that, but I'll actually be outstanding tonight, and so join me outside as we have worship outside, That's one way I could do it. But the weather forecast looks good. It looks cloudy, but there's virtually no chance of rain, the apps tell me. So let's do it again. We're not going to have many more Sundays where we can do this before it gets dark and cold. So let's get together again at 6 o'clock outside and worship God together again. We're going to ask the question, can the saved be lost? That's a very important question. Can the saved be lost? And so I want you to come out and join us as we worship God together. Now get your Bible out. Hope you will follow along in your Bible. I'll try to give you time to get to the passages that you'll see on the screen before I actually start reading them. And that way you'll know whether I'm telling you what God's Word says or it's just something I've made up. And if I've made it up, tell me. I vow never to do that, at least not knowingly. But let's work together to make sure that we really do know what God's Word teaches us, because that's so important. So let's get into the Word now. Now, the passage you heard read, that Andrew read for us a moment ago, you probably recognize that as the account of Rahab. Rahab was a resident of the city of Jericho, and the time had come for God's people to take ownership of the land of Canaan, and Jericho was stop number one. It was a major city, it was a major fortified city, and the spies have come in to look it out, and so Rahab hides two of these spies, and she tells them, I know that your God is the true God. We heard all about the Exodus, the plagues that God brought upon Egypt, and I'm asking you to shield us. I'm hiding you. Would you return the favor by not killing us when the invasion comes? And they make this arrangement. They say, yes, you have done us a great favor. We would have been killed by the residents of Jericho had you not hidden us. And so here's what you need to do. Tie a scarlet cord on your window. And then when we come into the city to take the city, when we see that cord, we'll know not to harm anybody in that house. Stay in that place, and as long as you're there, you'll be okay. And most of us know that account. We know that she did, in fact, do as they had said, and she was spared the destruction that came on most of the city. But now what about us? What about our security? Because we know there is coming a time when bad things are going to happen to those that are outside of Christ. Can we have that same kind of security? Now, I don't know that I own a scarlet cord, but is there one for me? Does God intend for me to tie a scarlet cord or something like that? And would you be surprised to know that, yes, there is something like that in the Bible for you and me, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. So let's think about the scarlet cord that Rahab tied on her window, but let's more think about what that means for us in our lives today and the security that God has promised to give us. Now let's start by talking about early suggestions of a scarlet cord of deliverance. Early suggestions. Now, we're not there yet where it's talking about you and me, but this gives us background. This helps us to see it was always in the mind of God. God was planning this for a long time before we came on the scene. And so let's go back to that passage in Joshua chapter 2, and just note with me verse 21. That's the last verse that Andrew read. But here is what Rahab did after they told her the plan. She said, according to your words, so be it. She knew, this is my only chance of survival. They have been gracious to me. I've tried to be gracious to them. And so if they tell me to tie a scarlet cord on my window, that's what I'll do. So she said, according to your words, so be it. Then she sent them away and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord in the window. And we read about her afterwards, and we know that she left that cord in place. Now, did her neighbors know what that was all about? I don't know. I suspect if she had told a lot of people, her house would have been very crowded by the time the invasion came. But she knew what it was about, and she made sure that she and her family were all inside so that they would be spared the destruction. But there's more than that. In fact, let's go way back in the Bible and look at the earliest mention of this scarlet cord. We'll go to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Now, I'll admit the word cord is not in this passage, but there's something inferred there, something that had to happen for this to take place. Genesis 3, as you remember, is where Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden. God had given them one command that we know about, and that is, do not eat of that tree that is in the middle of the garden, the tree of knowledge and good and evil. And yet they did that. They disobeyed the one law that God had given them, and so they realized, we are unclothed. They suddenly realized they were naked in the sight of God. They were exposed to God, and they tried their best to cover themselves up with fig leaves, we're told. But let's listen to what it says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. The Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. Now notice it doesn't say that God sheared some sheep and carded the wool and spun it into yarn and you know, wove them a nice garment. It doesn't say that. It said he made them clothing of skins. And so what does that mean? Animals had to die because of their sin. We don't know how many. Maybe it was just one animal. Maybe it was two or three. We don't know. But animals had to die because of the sin they had committed. And if they died, we know blood had to be shed, and that's the scarlet cord I'm suggesting. Blood is scarlet in color, deep red, and as that blood flowed from the animals, why was it flowing? Because of their sins. They had to be covered by that, and so they had to die. The animals had to die. The animals had nothing to do with the sin. They were not a part of it, but it was their blood that had to be shed in order to cover them. Let's go further now. Let's go into Genesis 22. Genesis chapter 22, and we're going to look at verses 13 and 14 there. Genesis 22, 13 and 14. And you may know that here is where God had commanded Abraham to take his son Isaac, his only son of promise, the one he loved, take him to Mount Moriah, 3 days away, and offer him there as a burnt offering. Now, I don't know what Abraham was thinking. I know he had to be questioning in his mind. Lord, what are you saying? This is the son you promised to me. I had to wait decades for this son. And now you're asking me to sacrifice him? And yet Abraham did just what God said. And he was ready to plunge the knife into Abraham when God stopped him. God said, I don't want you to do this. And so stand back, Abraham. But Lord, I need to offer a sacrifice. I've built the altar. I've laid the wood. Everything is ready. And that's where we want to read Genesis 22, verses 13 and 14. Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. And so there again, an animal died in order to preserve the life of the chosen one, the one through whom the lineage of Christ would come. God never really intended for Isaac to die. God knew that I will provide the sacrifice when the time comes. And so now that time has come, and although again it doesn't say so, a knife was plunged into the ram, and a stream of blood flowed from it, a scarlet cord. And why? Because it was a substitute for another one who then was able to live because of its death. So again, you see, this scarlet cord appears. Go with me now to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, verse 23 is what we'll look at. Exodus 12, God had been telling Moses about this 10th plague that would come upon Egypt, and it would really be severe. I mean, they've all been severe, but this one outstrips all of them. This would be the death of the firstborn in every house. It would be Israelite houses as well, unless they did this. Let's read what it says in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 23. The Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to strike you. So again, bloodshed. This time on a wide scale. We don't know exactly how many Israelites there were in Egypt. There's lots of estimates that go up into the millions maybe. But there were thousands, tens of thousands of lambs that were slain in preparation for this. And the blood was painted on the lintel of the house and the doorposts. Why? So they might be spared. And so again, you see that scarlet cord appears. And why? To deliver them from the curse of death. And then again, we're thinking about what happened after the Israelites were led out of Egypt. Not long after that, God appeared on Mount Sinai. He provided means of worshiping him. And now we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 9 for a summary of this. We could look at several passages in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. But I want you to look with me at Hebrews chapter 9, verses 21 and 22. And there's a principle here that stands out. A principle that was put into practice soon after they were delivered from Egypt. And in the same way, he, talking about Aaron the high priest, in the same way, he sprinkled with the blood, both the tent and all the vessels used in worship. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purged with blood, is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And so again, think about all of Israelite history from the time they left Egypt until the time of Jesus coming to earth. How many thousands, how many tens of thousands, how many hundreds of thousands of sheep and ox and bulls and goats were killed, whose blood was shed in keeping the law of God? And that scarlet cord, again, appears larger than ever. And why? Because this is the command of God. You've entered into a covenant with me. Now this is part of what it means to fulfill that covenant, that scarlet cord. But as we're there in Hebrews, let's go just to the next chapter, just a few verses past this. Go to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 4, and now we're kind of surprised. Because it says this, Hebrews 10 and verse 4, It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Animal blood can't do it. So Lord, why did you ask that? Why were you telling us to do all of that in anticipation? And we're getting to that very quickly now. But the animal blood, that was in fulfillment of God's law, yes, and it postponed the penalty of sin, but it's not really capable of taking away sin. For that, we get a prophecy in the book of Zechariah. And if you can find Zechariah, it's toward the very end of the Old Testament. I would urge you to look at Zechariah 13 and verse 1, and here is what we're looking at. As the event in human history, you might say. This is what it was all about, that scarlet cord that began in the Garden of Eden, that continued flowing on Mount Moriah, that continued flowing at Mount Sinai and in Jerusalem. Here's what it was all pointing to. Zechariah 13 and verse 1, on that day, there shall be a fountain opened for the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and uncleanness. Now Hebrews 10:4 said it's impossible for the blood of animals to take away sin. But here is a fountain that's going to be opened that will take away sin. It will cleanse sin. What are we talking about? At least God has a plan. We don't yet know it in the book of Zechariah. But we're going to find out very quickly. So now, let's turn our attention to the scarlet cord seen at Calvary. You knew that was where we were going, I trust. The scarlet cord seen at Calvary. Now, while you're in Zechariah, I hope you haven't turned away yet, let's back up to the previous chapter, because there it gives us a clue, a very strong clue, as to what this fountain was all about. And you'll notice in chapter 12, especially toward the end, there is that constant use of the phrase, on that day, which is what we saw in Zechariah 13, verse 1. On that day, a fountain will be opened for the cleansing of sin. Well, what is that day? Chapter 12, verse 10. And I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and pleas for mercy, so that when they look on me, on whom they have pierced, when they look on me, on whom they have pierced, they shall mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and weep bitterly over him as one weeps over a firstborn. Now, for about 400 years, the time before Christ would arrive, people read that and they said, what is it talking about? Who is this one that is going to be pierced? And how could that have anything to do with me? And does it connect with that fountain that's going to be opened for cleansing? In fact, if you were to look at John 19, verse 37, which we're not going to read at the moment, in John 19, 37, John quotes Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, in connection with the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And so the opening of that fountain occurred when? When the back of Jesus was scourged and blood began flowing? When the crown of thorns was pressed into his head and blood was flowing? When nails were driven through his hands and his feet and blood began flowing? And when the spear went in his side to prove he was dead, and yet more blood flowed? That's that fountain that was opened for the cleansing of sin. That's the scarlet cord that gives us hope and security. Now let's look a little bit more at that. Let's go to Isaiah 53, verses 5 and 6. Isaiah 53, verses 5 and 6. And of course, this is back still under the old covenant. And Isaiah is making a prophecy about 750 years before Jesus comes to earth. And he talks about this suffering servant. Listen to what he says in Isaiah 53 in verses 5 and 6. He was pierced. There's that word again. We saw it in Zechariah 12, verse 10. Now we're seeing it in Isaiah. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And of course, we know who that's talking about. It also is cited in the New Testament in connection with Jesus and what he did for us. But Jesus was the one that was pierced. And because of that, he bled. And that blood has such meaning for us. John chapter 1, verse 29. When John the Baptist was leading his disciples about, on one occasion, John tells us he saw Jesus coming. And listen to what John says in John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now again, remember, Hebrews 10 verse 4 said, it is impossible for the blood of animals to take away sin. But here is the Lamb of God. Lamb here being used in a figurative sense, but the one that would be sacrificed. Like the ram in the thicket, he would be sacrificed in our place. And by that blood, our sins would be taken away. Jesus agreed with that. Matthew 26, verses 27 and 28. We often hear this passage read as we're preparing for the Lord's Supper. And this is the night Jesus was instituting the Lord's Supper. And here's what he says about the cup. And we'll be partaking of the cup in just a little bit. He says in Matthew 26, 27 and 28, he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Animal blood couldn't do it. The blood of Jesus can. And Jesus said, "I know what's going to happen. I'm willingly giving my blood so that your sins may be taken away. And as we partake of the cup, that is what is in our minds. He did it for me. 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at that with me for a moment. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. And again, this image of a lamb appears. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. And here is what we find in that passage. Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you. Jesus, foreknown before the foundation of time, which suggests again the idea this scarlet cord has existed since before the world began. God knew that we weren't going to keep the commandments. He knew that because we have free will, sometimes we're going to choose to sin, and that brings upon us the penalty of death. But Jesus, the Lamb, gave his precious blood, sinless blood, so that we might be forgiven of our sins. What an amazing thought. And we mentioned earlier about Abraham taking Isaac to Mount Moriah, and there God stopped him and said, I have something else for you to offer. And in fact, there Abraham named that place, the Lord will provide. It was on that spot or somewhere very near that spot that Jesus was crucified thousands of years later. And there, ultimately, the Lord will provide. Who did he provide that for? For you? For me? For everyone. The scarlet cord. That stream of blood that has been flowing since Eden and continues to flow, as John says in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, a passage we all love and take a lot of comfort in, because it says in 1 John 1 verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin, from all sin. He was writing that to Christians because, you see, Christians also still sin. We don't mean to, we don't want to, but we do. We need cleansing, just like the one who has never become a Christian. That blood is so powerful that after 2,000 years it is still flowing, it is still cleansing. That scarlet cord is still our refuge. Skip Heitzig wrote an article entitled How a Scarlet Cord Connects the Entire Bible, written in March of 2019. Here's just a little excerpt from it. The great Bible teacher of yesteryear, William Evans, noted, cut the Bible anywhere and it bleeds. Now, not actually, you understand that. But cut the Bible anywhere. Go to any part of the Bible, he says, and it bleeds. The blood of Jesus stains every page, every book in both Testaments. Evans observed that the atonement is the scarlet cord running through every page in the entire Bible. It is red with redemption truth. I agree with that. I think it's obvious when you look at the Bible and you have Jesus in your mind as you study throughout the Old as well as the New Testament. It's what the Bible is about. It's about Jesus and it's about us, because we are the reason that scarlet cord is there, that blood that flowed on Calvary. One more passage, Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. Leviticus 17 and verse 11. And this helps us to understand why blood is part of the picture. I mean, to us, blood may be repulsive. We don't like to think about it. We don't like to look at it, maybe. But here's the point. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. We know that today, don't we? People didn't always know that. In fact, not too many decades ago, Physicians would routinely bleed their patients, thinking if we get rid of some of that bad blood, then they'll get better. And of course, with some it worked, and with a lot of people it didn't. But now we know life is in the blood. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and God says, I have given it for you on the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement by the life. And the life of Jesus, the only life that was lived without sin to the age of maturity. That is, children, you know, children are born without sin, but they're going to sin at some point if they live long enough. But Jesus lived beyond the age of maturity, and he still held firm to that commitment to not sin. And that precious blood, that innocent blood, is the only blood that could ever take away our sins. He offered it willingly so that we might be atoned of our sins. So what that means today is, I need that blood. You need that blood. And it's still available. And so this morning we ask, have you come in contact with that blood? How do you come in contact with the blood of Jesus? Well, where did he shed it? In his death. And baptism is where we contact that blood. We believe that he is the Son of God. We die to our sins by repenting of our sins. We confess him before others, saying, I believe in him. And then we're buried with him. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. We are buried with him, and there in that grave, we come in contact with his blood. How do I know that? Because we come up out of that grave in newness of life, Paul says there. And so if you've not obeyed the gospel, the simple commands of the gospel, we're ready this morning if you are. We'd love to help you have that wonderful refreshing of knowing I am right in the sight of God. And so we would urge you to make that decision in a moment. If you've done those things and yet you've not been true to your promise, you've allowed sin to take control of your life again, you need to repent. Turn around. Come back to the Father. And just like with the prodigal son, he will run to meet you because he's happy to forgive. But you've got to repent. You've got to pray for forgiveness. We'll pray with you. We'll encourage you. Whatever we can do, if we can help, please come as we stand together and sing.
Thank you.
be seated.
This morning, Sherilyn and Harrison Morgan have come forward to ask for our prayers. I'll read, first of all, what Sherilyn has written. She said, "I've struggled to have a regular private Bible study, meditation, and private prayer life for a long time. Instead of studying the scriptures daily and meditating on them throughout the day, I have allowed entertainment and sometimes ungodly entertainment to be what I fill my time with, rather than deepening my relationship with God and seeking His guidance. It is easy to think that many other Christians consume similar entertainment, so why should I do any different? That thinking is flawed, and how Satan wants me to think. I want to cut out any entertainment and influences that are leading me away from God." What a marvelous request for prayers. And it's not just ungodly entertainment that can lead us away from God. It's just not giving Him the first place in our lives. And then Harrison also asked that we pray for him. He said, I failed to be the spiritual leader for my family that I should be. And he wants to do better with that. And what a great example for all of us. I hope it'll give all of us reason to look at ourselves and think about what we allow to enter our minds and how dependent we are on God's word and His guidance. Also, they are going to be leaving us. I found out last week, a lot of you probably already know this, but they're going to be moving to Florida, isn't it? Alabama. That's where her mother is and a lot of family. Her grandmother is there now, and they want to help out and be part of the care given to the grandmother. But anyway, we really hate to see this. They won't actually move until the end of October, they tell us, but it still gives us time to talk them out of that. But no, we understand. Sometimes it is best to change, but we're going to miss the Morgans. They've been a great encouragement to all of us. And also this morning, I'm happy to announce a family that wants to become identified with us here at Central. Hannah and Cody Moore are asking now to be recognized as part of us. They have the young son, Winston. Is he 2 years old yet, almost? He's two? Okay. But this, of course, is the grandson. Cody is the grandson of Jim, Bob, and Linda. And Hannah, we've learned to love them. They've been worshiping with us for some time now, and we love them. We know that they're solid, both good Christians, and so we're happy to welcome them into the family. You've got to stand up now for a moment so everybody can see who you are, and be sure to welcome Hannah and Cody Moore and their son, Winston. And I know we're all going to enjoy getting to know them even better. Let's take a moment and go to God in prayer. Our God and our Father in heaven, we praise you. You are all to us, Lord. You created us, you provide for us, you protect us, you teach us when we're willing to let you. And Father, we pray that we might always be found in your favor. And we know that can only happen through Jesus Christ. And thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his willingness to shed his blood. so that we might be forgiven and be brought back to your side. Father, thank you for the mercy you continue to show us. And right now we pray on behalf of Sherilyn and Harrison Morgan. We pray, Lord, that you will bless them both as they seek to make their lives more spiritual, more in line with what you want it to be. And Father, forgive them for whatever neglect there may have been and help them to do better. And may we all contemplate this, Father, because entertainment is such a prevalent part of our culture. We're all lured into it, and in doing so, Father, we often neglect you. Help us to have the same strength to do what Sherilyn and Harrison are asking. And thank you, Father, for Hannah and Cody and Winston. We're so thankful, Lord, that they will now be a part of our family. And Lord, we just pray that you'll bless them both, that they might be welcomed and received very warmly. And may we, together with them, be a stronger force for good. Lord, we love you. We thank you for all the good that you do in our lives. And we need you, Father, every moment, every day. So bless us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Sing the song to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. We'll sing the first, second, and third verse.
Glad I emailed my talk this morning for the Lord's Supper to Tim so he could use that all in his sermon. Very appropriate. Thank you for picking my verses. But I will focus on one set of verses. It's out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It's very common for us to read. But I think it's very appropriate. Not necessarily the first few verses, but the last three. Chapter 11, 1 Corinthians, verse 24 says, "For I received the Lord, what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which you is for you. This in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" The last three verses I'm about to read, verse 27 through 29, I think is what we really have to take heart in. Because it says, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord is unworthy, in an unworthy manner, will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of our Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats and drinks of the bread and the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of our Lord eats and drinks judgment upon himself." I think a lot of times we skip that part because we don't forget about the rest of the week that we've had, the forgiveness we may not have given, or thoughts we've had against other people. So I think those last three really take into account. This is not a routine thing that we should do. It's every week examine ourselves to make sure we're right with God before we partake of the Lord's Supper. So let's pray for the bread. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this opportunity that we have to come each week to remember your death, burial, and resurrection, that we need to examine ourselves. We need to take the time to forgive others, to do the things we know we're supposed to do, and examine ourselves to have a pure heart and pure mind before we partake of this Lord's Supper. And Lord, as we're at the foot of the cross, we look up and we see your broken body upon the cross. We just pray for the forgiveness of our sins, and we're so thankful for that grace you provide us. In his name we pray. Amen. Let's pray for the fruit of the vine. Father, we love you, and we often do fall short of your glory. And we know that you had the perfect plan of salvation. You had the plan to send your son to walk on this earth, to die upon the cross, shed his blood for our sins. And as we heard in the lesson today, that there had to be bloodshed for the forgiveness of our sins. And we are so grateful for that, that you did that for us. And Lord, once again, we pray that we examine ourselves to make ourselves right with you, make ourselves right with others before we wholeheartedly take this fruit of the vine. And we thank you for the time we have. We ask you to forgive us of our sins. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Pray for the offering. Father, we are a blessed people. We are given so much. We have so much that we need to be thankful for. And we pray, Lord, that the things we receive, that we know they come from you. And Lord, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to give back what is rightfully yours. We pray for the eldership, that they will use this money to further your kingdom, not only here in Johnson City, but across the world. And we pray that we have taken time to examine ourselves to give what we can and give what we should. In his name we pray. Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we pray that all that has been said and done this morning has been pleasing to you. We ask that you be with us day by day this week. Help us to keep our sights on you, to follow in the path of Christ, to not neglect your word, to live our lives as you would have us do so. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let me share a few items with you. Please pick up your communion cups and throw those away as you leave the auditorium. Our plans are to meet outside this evening for worship at 6. Be watching an email that should be going out this afternoon for more information. Today is the last day for the collection of household items for the Tennessee Children's Home. See the flyer in the lobby for the list of items that are needed. Also tomorrow, Isaac, Natalie, and Caleb French will be legally adopted by Charlie French. Anyone is welcome to come and be part of this beautiful event. Meet on the second floor of the Washington County Justice Center in Jonesboro at 9 a.m. if you wish to be part of this. There will be a potluck luncheon on Sunday, October 1st to celebrate this event. It will take place from 1 to 4 downstairs. Desserts and drinks will be provided. The Digging Deep Women's Bible Study will meet downstairs Monday evening at 5. See Kim Seaton if you have any questions about this. The Friendship Walk will begin at 6:30 this Tuesday at Willow Springs Park. Meet near the dog park if you can join. There will be a gift card shower through October 15th for Daniel Norris and Sage Erickson, who will be married on November 11th. In Ojai, California, the happy couple would appreciate gift cards from Amazon, Target, Walmart, Home Depot, Lowe's, or Ace Hardware. You are invited to a wedding of Jenna Jacobs and Caleb Gerard on October 14 at 2 p.m. at the building of Central. Please call Melissa Jacobs to RSVP by September 30th. And a note of thanks, we are so grateful to all who have been praying on our behalf. Carrie's cell collection and infusion went very smoothly with no side effects or symptoms. God is with us each step of the way. Deborah and Carrie Vantine. Also remember these in prayer. Sonia Batchelder is back at home after undergoing a bone marrow biopsy on Friday. Carrie Hutchinson was discharged on Friday from Quillen Rehab and continues her recovery at home from total hip replacement surgery. The family and friends of Dorothy Payne, that's the older sister of Fred Roten, continue to mourn her passing last Sunday in Delaware. Her funeral service will be on October 11th at the VA. Fred states, Georgie and I thank everyone for all the support and sympathy cards we have received from our friends at Central. And now Chris Steele has an announcement for us.
I may have done that not completely smoothly, but what I said, I welcomed you to church here this morning, glad to see you. I want all of you to go into the world, teach the good news, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Luckily for you, if you don't know what I said, we're going to start sign language classes here on October 29th. It's a little bit over a month away. We're going to teach them because we have a big ministry here in Johnson City. Not just here, but 97%, roughly 9% of the deaf in the world have not heard the name of Jesus. So we have an opportunity. We have a big group here of deaf in that area. So we're going to start teaching classes Sunday, October 29th, from 4:45 to 5:45 on Sunday afternoon, somewhere here in the church building. We'll get you a classroom eventually. So if you're interested, you can go to the involvement page on the website, put your name in there, address or email address, phone number. see me, my wife Poppy, or Greg Ryan, and we'll try to get you get ready for that. So you're not going to be an interpreter like me. I'm not. I'm enough to be dangerous. So, but I want you to, don't be scared to do it. So we're going to teach you one sign today before you leave, and it's a very good sign to have. And this was instant messages before there was social media and stuff. This, your finger like a T, put your finger in between your two fingers, you shake it, that means restroom. So, well, as we would travel with each other in a car, if we needed to stop at a rest stop, hang out your finger out the window and go like that. They knew it was time for a rest break. So, anyway, I hope you all come on October 29th, 4:45 to 5:45. There'll be more information coming out, but have a blessed day and God bless.